إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session dealing with the topic of Muslim unity, a treatise on Muslim unity and a repudiation of splitting and differing. يعني الحث على اجتماع كلمة المسلمين والذم التفرق والاختلاف. الشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. Tonight we actually intend to begin with the Shaykh's opening remarks concerning this very important topic, and some yani ayat from the Quran and Hadith which the Shaykh mentions yani in passing without much comment, supporting the idea of the importance of the believers, the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming together, yani joining with one another, uniting and being in agreement and harmony based upon adherence to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he mentions yani one central ayah that combines the theme of this risalah, and then he mentions other ayat from the Quran and other hadith which support yani this important vital affair. Before we look at the topic for tonight, we want to quickly review what we covered last night in our introduction yani to the author, the biography, brief biography of the author, an introduction to the book, yani the comments from one of his students, brief comments concerning this particular essay and its importance and its content. So let's look at the study guide from lecture number one. First question being mentioned, the author's rahimahullah kunya and full name, including the name of his father and grandfather. Naam, what's your name, akhi?
Shu'aib.
Help me, please. Naam, Shu'aib, fadda.
Kunya is Abu Abdullah.
Abu Abdullah.
His name is Abdurrahman ibn Nasir ibn Abdullah ibn Nasir al-Sa'di.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir ibn Abdullah ibn Nasir al-Sa'di. Rahimahullah. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib, second question. Mention the author's, rahimahullah, place of birth and the year of his birth and death. Yani place of birth and the year of his birth and death. Ahmed. He was born in the city of Unayza in Qasim. He was born in the year 1307. And he died in the year 1376. MashaAllah. Tayyib. So his life, his age at death was what? 69. MashaAllah. So he had a full life, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Umr ummati bayna 60 wa 70. Between 60 and 70 years. Naam, the lifespan of my ummah. So MashaAllah, he had the full span. Allah yarhamhu rahmatan wasi'a. Tayyib, number three, mentioned something about the author's, rahimahullah, parents, early upbringing and studies. Naam, Abu Jameel. His mother passed away when he was 4 years old. And his father at seven. And he finished reading the Quran, yani, at the time after his father's death, naam, about 7 years. And when he was 11 years old, he finished the memorization of the Quran with proficiency. And he began, yani, other studies. Anybody want to add to that anything? Naam, Abu Bakr. At the age of 23, naam, he began teaching now, naam. Learning and teaching, mashallah. And when he was 43, he became the main reference, the source, yani the marji', that the people in his city, the people went to him, yani on any issue, and he was the reference point, the person that was trusted and relied upon at 43. Naam. Tayyib, anything else about his studies you want to mention? Tayyib. Mention the Shaykh rahimahullah with whom he studied the most and some of the subjects studied with him. Naam, Abdullah. Naam, Sheikh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi. He was the judge of Unayza, naam. Naam, he accompanied him until he died, until the Sheikh died, naam. And he studied with him? Tawheed, Tafsir, Usul al-Fiqh, naam. Furu al-Fiqh, yani al-Usul, al-Usul wal-Furu, naam, al-Fiqh. And also, yani, the various sciences related to Arabic language. طيب, question number 5. Discuss the author, rahimahullah's character and manners with the people. Ya Mustafa.
He was humble with young and old.
And he didn't make a distinction. His humility was with all people. Naam.
Rich and poor. He solved problems between people with justice.
Naam. He solved problems between the people with justice. That's critical, with justice. SubhanAllah. And he saw that what? So that both sides are pleased. And everybody's happy with the decision that he makes. Naam. Humble with the small children, old, naam.
He spent time meeting with those who desired his presence.
He spent time with those who desired his presence, naam.
He transformed the ordinary gatherings into the gatherings of worship and knowledge.
Naam. Transform ordinary gatherings into gatherings of worship and knowledge. Naam. And he was also the most excellent of the people in terms of what? His manner or his way, his methods of teaching the people. Naam. He used to address the people with that which was appropriate, suitable for them. Yani, not just saying anything to anybody. Naam. Now, he used to set up some debates between those students who had excelled in order to sharpen yani their thinking and their memory and their view. Now,
he was compassionate with poor, needy, and strangers.
compassionate with the poor, the needy, and strangers, and who are unknown to anyone. Huh? Naam.
A lot.
A lot, naam. In any case, this aspect of our topic is really important because of the example that we should take from the scholars, outside of the knowledge that we take from them. Rather, the model that they represent, the model of the Prophet ﷺ in their character and their manners. It is important that a real scholar, that the people learn from that scholar, not just the accumulation of information, but the character and manners of Islam. Question number 6, mention two of the authors, rahimahullah, most well-known books. Two, give me one, Siddiq.
The Tree of Faith.
Tawdih wal Bayan li Shajarat al Iman. Naam, Ibrahim, huh? Ibrahim, naam.
Al Qawl
al Sadeed. Sharh Kitab al Tawheed. MashaAllah. We didn't even mention that one. SubhanAllah, that's a tremendous book. Tremendous book. Naam, MashaAllah. I mean, full of any benefits. Fawaid. Naam.
Tafsir
Sa'di, naam. He has a couple of tafsirs. Anybody remember what the most famous of them? Naam.
Tafsir
al-Karim al-Rahman. Tafsir Kalam al-Mannan. And as we said, this book is really one of his popular tafsirs, and it's published in one volume with small print, and two volumes with a bigger print, and five volumes with a very easy to read print. Tremendous, tremendous, valuable, beneficial tafsir. And whoever reads it, and they open their heart to it, there's no doubt. When you read this explanation of the Quran will become, it will affect your heart. It will enter into your soul, and it will enable you to live by the Quran. It will encourage you, and it will move you to act upon the Quran when you read it. Now, mention two of the author, rahimahullah's most well-known students. Somebody in the back. Well-known students. Yani, two. Okay, Musa, now. What'd you say? Who's that? That's Abdullah? Well, go ahead. Now, who is that? Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Naam, rahimahullah. Naam, Musa. Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Aqil, the one who wrote the introduction to the book, naam. And another, anybody know the author of Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam? Bassam, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, rahimahumullah. Naam, question number 8, mention the title. Naam, mention the title of our book under study, Arabic, English, and the significance of this topic. The title, naam. Ahmed. Naam? Naam, Abdullah. Risalatun fil hathi. Ala ijtima kalimat al muslimin. Wadhammi al tafarruq wal ikhtilaf. Naam, meaning?
Encouragement,
naam. Al-hath, encouragement, naam. Well, we praise, but encouragement, encouraging, naam.
Joining.
The unity, ijtima, kalimat al-Muslimin. Yani the joining, yani the unity of the word of the Muslims. Meaning the unity of the Muslims, that they are speaking together with one word, naam. They have one stand, one view, naam. Wadhammi, yani tafarruq, wal-ikhtilaf. Them means something to blame, blameworthy, to blame someone, disparaging or dispraise of a tafarruq, separation and division and ikhtilaf, differing. Naam. And the importance of this is what? What a word about its importance. Is this something important? Why? What naam.
Because
Allah ordered in His book. Naam. He ordered us And for the Muslims to come together, to unite, to be in agreement with one another, to work together, to cooperate with one another. And he prohibited us from separation and division and disputing and differing. Naam. And this is from the fundamental and important matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized, and the prophets and the messengers and the companions and the salaf, all of them, yani, emphasized this matter. Mention something from the introduction by Al-Allama Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Aqil rahimahullah. Something from the introduction, Abu Bakr.
He was an excellent,
he was an excellent sincere teacher, naam. And a righteous
nurturer,
yani murabbi, naam. And he was crystal clear, he was precise and exact in his explanation or presentation of this subject. It didn't leave anything to be desired. It was clear. Now, what else? Now, Musa?
He was trying to advise the scholars of the Muslims.
He was advising, in this essay, he's advising the scholars of the Muslims
and
the common people also. Now,
to unite.
To unite their word and to come together, to join together. Now, and also to put the scholars in their place where they deserve to be. That the people have to recognize the place, the manzila of the scholars, recognize their and acknowledge their position, their status. Now, anything else? Huh?
Also, the student of knowledge.
And he didn't forget the students of knowledge, right? He didn't forget the students of knowledge. Naam. What did he say for the students of knowledge? He warned them against what? Despicable, vile, low, despicable, mean character, and sifat al-zamima, blameworthy characteristics, naam. And he reminded the people of the need of the people of the scholars, the people in need of the scholars. And therefore should show love and respect and honor them and recognize their position. And he also said in the end, very importantly, he said what? He advised. Naam.
He advised everyone to read
the book. He advised everyone, the students and other people to read this book. And he also made dua that Allah benefit. Now, the one who wrote it, the one who reads it, and the one who listens to it and benefits from it. He made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit the writer and the one who reads it and the one who hears it being read and whoever benefits from it. And finally, discuss the author, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, his objective in writing the many books that he has authored. Nobody in the back? Huh? Who's that? Oh, Shaykh Muhammad, barakallahu feekum. I wouldn't have seen you there. I'm glad you said something. Barakallahu feekum. Allah yahfadukum. Naam, nashr al-ilm, the spread of knowledge. And also? Ta'aleem, teaching.
And to make to what that is
haqq. And dawah, ila al-haqq, calling people to the truth. Spreading knowledge, teaching the people, and calling people to the truth. And he didn't write books to make money. And today it has become, mashallah, a big business. You can write books, you can get money. But he didn't take money for his books. Rather, most of them, he spent on them himself and gave them free, or other people, supported the work so that the books could be given to people free. Now, Mustafa.
Even after his death, he still benefited from
his behavior. Even after his death, people are still benefiting by some of his works and writings and books being brought forth anew. طيب, tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, and the time is short, between Maghrib and Isha, Wallahu Musta'an. And we want to read what the author begins with. He begins by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَبِهِ أَسْتَعِينَ وَعَلَيْهِ أَتَّوَكَّلُ. And it is upon Allah, or it is with Allah, that I seek help. He begins this essay by saying what? In the name of Allah, Rahman Rahim, I seek help from Allah, and I depend upon Allah. Tawakkul Ali, عليه التوكل. I depend upon Allah, rely upon Allah, put my trust in Allah. And then he begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Yani praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, and praying for salat and salam to be upon Muhammad and his family and his companions, all of them, amma ba'd. After this he says, and this is the first statement, and like I said, the Shaykh, he wrote this book, yani mentioning a lot of things back to back with very little commentary. So we want to yani try to pay attention so that we don't let any of these points pass by. The first point he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ خَلْقَهُ مِنَ الْعَدَمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed, He has created His creation from al-adam, from nothing. He created the creation from nothing. Yani not, He used some parts of something from here or there, He created from nothing. وَأَوْجَدَهُمْ بَعْدَ أَنْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. And then He brought them into existence after they hadn't been anything, yani شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, of mention, yani nothing, not even mentioned. And He created them and He brought them into existence for what purpose? لِيَعْبُدُوهُ, to worship Him. So that all of the creation should worship Him. This is the purpose for which He created them and brought them into existence. لِيَعْبُدُوهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. So that all of the creation may worship Him. This is the purpose. Alone. Without any partners. وَيُطِيعُوهُ, and to obey Him. To be obedient to Him. Whatever He has commanded and prohibited. وَيَتَّقُوهُ, and to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He created the creation, brought them into existence to worship Him alone without any partners or associates, and to be obedient to Him and to observe taqwa of Him. This is the purpose of our existence. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that the Shaykh here, these opening remarks are intended to lay the groundwork for the main topic, the unity of the Muslims. Okay, so he's laying the groundwork, he's saying, what is the purpose of the creation? And what is the basis, the thing that all of this revolves around? What is its starting point and its origin? The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which it includes many things. And he mentions some of the different divisions and types of things that we may look at in Islam. And finally he says, yani, and from amongst them is this command to hold fast together, to unite together with the rope of Allah, and to be not divided, to not separate and divide and differ with one another. But this is the foundation. This is what he's saying here is the foundation for us to grasp and understand that the theme of this book is, yani, it comes from this foundation. From the foundation of what? The purpose of our existence is to worship Allah. This is part of the worship of Allah. Uniting the Muslims, being united and working towards unity of the Muslims. This is part of what? The worship of Allah. That Allah created us for this purpose. To worship Him, to be obedient to Him, to observe taqwa of Him. This is part of being obedient to Allah. He has commanded us with this. This is part of the taqwa of Allah. Taqwa of Allah is what? Obeying His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. Here He has commanded us with something. He has prohibited us from something. This is the purpose for which we were created. This is not a side issue. Holding fast to the rope of Allah and not being divided, this is not a side issue. This is the very purpose for which we have been created. This is part of the worship of Allah and obedience to Allah and taqwa of Allah. After this, the Shaykh, he says, yani after mentioning this is the purpose of the creation, he said, وَمَدَارُ ذِكْرِهِ وَمَرَجِعُهُ. And this is very important because, and in the translation of the book, this particular point is not so clear. So please pay attention to what he's saying here. مَدَارُ ذِكْرِهِ وَمَرْجِعُهُ. Yani the axis upon which the dhikr of Allah revolves, the thing that it's centered upon, وَمَرْجِعُهُ, and its source, its origin, yani the starting point of the dhikr of Allah, مَدَارُ ذِكْرِهِ. And here by dhikr, we don't just mean the dhikr like Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, not the dhikr that's related to times, certain times, morning and evening, going to sleep and waking up, or dhikr that's related to certain events, yani tied to events like eating and drinking and getting dressed and stuff like this. But we mean dhikr in the general sense, meaning everything that the tongue expresses and everything that the heart conceives that has the intent of يعني تقريب يقرب إلى الله, يعني whatever is on the tongue or in the heart that its purpose or its intent, its objective is to get near to Allah All of this is the dhikr of Allah. And we talked about this in detail. Yani from al-wasiyah al-sughra. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said the general meaning of dhikr, yani is all of this. Whatever is intended to be a means to get near to Allah, to earn the pleasure of Allah, to earn the reward of Allah. All of this is the dhikr of Allah. Even if it is what? Learning or teaching, enjoining the good, forbidding the wrong, all of this is the dhikr of Allah. And here the Shaykh, he is using this word dhikr, madaru dhikrihi. Yani the thing that it all revolves around. The dhikr of Allah. And what do we mean by dhikr of Allah here? We mean the general meaning of dhikr that goes back to the first sentence. Which is what? Ibadah. Yani whatever is intended to earn the pleasure of Allah, to get near to Allah. So here the Shaykh, he said, madaru dhikrihi, meaning that which the dhikr of Allah, the ibadah of Allah, the taqwa of Allah, the ta'a, obedience to Allah, all of this revolves around adai huquqihi, yani fulfilling his rights. The worship of Allah, the obedience to Allah, the taqwa of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, all of this, yani madaru dhikrihi wa marji'uhu ala adai huquqihi. It is in the fulfillment of his rights. Wa huquqi ibadihi, in the fulfillment of the rights of his servants. This is, yani, where it starts from. This is the starting point, and this is what it all revolves around. Yani, fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of his servants, al-lazima wal-mustahabba. Yani, those which are obligatory and those which are commendable. All of it centers around what? Fulfilling the rights of Allah. That's what it's all about. And this command to hold fast to the robe of Allah and to avoid division and different and separation, yani this is the fulfillment of the rights of Allah. And it also includes the fulfillment of the rights of the servants of Allah. Because the unity is for the benefit of the ummah. And separation is to the harm of the ummah. So this is from the rights of Allah and the rights of His servants. Some of which are obligatory and some of which are mustahab. And he said that these rights, the rights of Allah and the rights of His servants, التي شرعها في كتابه وعلى لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي شعب كثيرة وأقسام. Yani these rights that go back to the worship of Allah, the purpose for which we were created. These rights, he said, they are that which He has legislated in His book. And rights that have been mentioned on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rights of Allah and the rights of the ibad. And remember, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah also said what? In reference to taqwa. That taqwa, it goes back to these two aspects. Every human being have over him rights of Allah and rights of the other created beings. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعِي السَّيَّاتِ حَسَنَةً تَمْهُوَ وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ. Yani the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. That is what it all revolves around. That which Allah has legend in His book and on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa hiya shu'abun kathira. And there are many branches of the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. Many branches, wa aqsam, and divisions. Many branches and divisions. They are divided into different divisions and they have many branches. And then he goes to say, what are some of these branches or some of these divisions? فَمِنْهَا مَا هُوَ أُصُولٌ. Some of them are usul, fundamentals. Yani rights of Allah, rights of the people that are from the usul, fundamentals. وَمِنْهَا مَا هُوَ أَحْكَامٌ. And some of them are legal rulings that Allah has mentioned in the Quran or on the tongue of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمِنْهَا مَا هُوَ قَوَاعِدْ كُلِّيَّةٌ تَنْدَرِجْ تَحْتَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ الْجُزْئِيَّةِ. And from amongst these rights, the rights of Allah and the rights of His servants, are those which, yani, are قَوَاعِدْ كُلِّيَّةٌ, comprehensive qawaid, foundations, fundamentals, comprehensive fundamentals, yani, that are the base, for that which comes from them, derived from them, yani, al-ahkam al-juz'iyyah, yani, subsidiary, secondary, branched out rulings, yani, rulings that come from the basic principles, foundation principles. وَمِنْهَا مَقَاعِدْ وَمَطَالِبْ. And also, yani from these rights, there are some which are maqasid, yani the objectives or goals that Allah has set for the human being in this world, objectives and goals. And some of them are talib, yani requirements or requests or demands that are upon the people. وَمِنْهَا مَا هُوَ مُوْسِلٌ إِلَيْهَا. And some of them involve that which Yani leads you to the fulfillment of these maqasid, these objectives, that which leads you to the fulfillment of them, and the fulfillment of the matalib, the demands, the requests, the requirements that are upon the created beings. And he's saying that they are all different types, yani, of rights of Allah and rights of the servants that come under usul, ahkam, qawa'id, and so on, like this. Matalib, maqasid, they're under different headings, but they all go back to what? The rights of Allah and the rights of His servants. And then he said, وَقُلُّهَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَى تَحْسِيلَ الْمَصَالِ وَتَكْمِيلِهَا وَتَعْطِيلَ الْمَفَاسِدِ وَتَقْلِيلِهَا. And all of this, all of these divisions and branches that deal with the rights of Allah and the rights of His servants that He has legislated in His book and on the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ, all of it goes back to تحصيل المصالح, yani the achievement of things which are of benefit. Things which are of benefit. All of it goes back to achieving the benefits, the masali that Allah has for the human being. By fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of the servants, we achieve the things that are of benefit, that are real benefit. Not like what some people think is benefit, having a new car and a big home and a lot of money in the bank. That might or might not be beneficial. It might or might not be beneficial. It depends on how you got it and how you use it. But these are the real benefits. They are achieved by fulfilling these rights. Yani by achieving the masali. Yani it all goes back to what? The intent, the purpose, the objective is to achieve, to accomplish these beneficial things. وَتَكْمِيلِهَا, and to complete and perfect them. Yani to get them, reach to the fullest of them. وَتَعْتِيلَ الْمَفَاسِدِ, yani to eliminate al-mafasid, yani harmful things, to eliminate them completely, or taqliliha, or at least to reduce them. Huh? This is a very important principle. This is a qaida in Islam, that the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its objective, as many of the scholars of the sunnah said, its objective is to establish the good, totally, or at least increase it. If we can't establish it completely, at least increase it. Whatever we do should be to increase the good, if not to perfect it. Or to eliminate evil completely, or at least to reduce it. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says in Aqidah Wasatiyah, and Shaykh al-Uthaymeen explains it, said that this is a basic principle. That's why we have the maslaha, the masali, and the mafasid, that we have to weigh them. That anything that we have been commanded or prohibited from in Islam, we have to weigh. Will it bring about the perfection of good, or at least to increase it? Or it will bring about evil completely, or at least, yani, will it eliminate evil completely, or at least reduce it? If not, then we should not be doing it. It has to at least be to increase good, or to decrease evil, or to complete the good, or to eliminate completely the evil. Otherwise, it's not from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended, because this is the purpose of the sharia, to complete the good, or to increase it, or to eliminate evil, or at least to decrease it. And anything that does other than that, that's not for us. Even if it's something that Allah has commanded. If in that position, in that place, in that circumstances, it will bring about evil, you are not allowed to do it. It's not even a choice. It's haram, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said. It's haram to enjoin the good. If enjoining the good at that time will bring about more evil than the good that you are trying to bring about. And this is another subject. And Ibn al-Qayyim talks about it here. In somewhat length, I don't know, Allahu musta'an. And he'll read a little bit. Anyway, he mentions in the footnote here, قال ابن القيم رحمه الله in إعلام الموقعين, he says that indeed the sharia, مبناها, يعني its foundation, وأساسها, يعني what it is built upon and its foundation is upon الحكم والمصالح, ومصالح العباد, في المعاش والمعاد. That is based upon hikam, wisdoms, and the benefits, the things that are in the benefit of the created being in this world or in the next. وَهِيَ عَدْلٌ كُلُّهَا, and all of it is justice. Yani, all of it is justice, meaning the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of it is rahmah, mercy, and all of it is masali, things of benefit. And all of it is wisdom. So any issue that goes outside of justice to injustice, or outside of mercy to the opposite of it, or outside of that which is beneficial to that which is harmful, or outside of wisdom to that which is futile. فَلَيْسَتْ مِنَ الشَّرِيَةِ وَإِنْ أُدْخِلَتْ فِيهَا بِالتَّأْوِيلِ. Then it's not really from the Sharia. And whatever goes outside of justice, outside of mercy, outside of wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it might be entered into the Sharia. It has been admitted into the Sharia by ta'wil, by somebody's wrong, false interpretation. So the Sharia, it is the adl of Allah amongst His servants, and it is His rahmah amongst His creatures, and it is His dhil, His shade, comfort in the earth. The Sharia. And it is His wisdom that points to Him, and it points to the truthfulness of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, atammu dalala wa asdaquha. And after this, the Shaykh says, and after this introduction to the different types of rights of the human beings, categories that the rights of Allah and the human beings come under, and all of it is in reference to what? That all of this is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience to Allah, taqwa of Allah. The rights that Allah has legislated in the book and the sunnah, it is to achieve this purpose of our existence, that is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this he said, مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَوَامِرِ الْإِلَهِيَّةِ وَالشَّرَاعِ السَّمَوِيَّةِ والوصايا النبوية الاعتصام بحبل الله جميعا واتفاق كلمة المسلمين واجتماعهم واتلافهم. That from amongst the greatest and the most magnificent of the divine commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the heavenly legislations or laws, and the prophetic advices and counsel, from amongst the greatest of them is al-i'tisam bihablillahi jami'an, holding fast to the rope of Allah altogether. That's our topic. The Shaykh is saying, there are a lot of commands, and there are a lot of legislations, and there are a lot of qawaid and principles, and ahkam and usul and all of that, and from amongst the greatest of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatest of the things that He has legislated and has come to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is holding fast, al-i'tisam, to the rope of Allah altogether. Uniting with one another, joining together, based upon holding the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ittifaq kalimat al-muslimin, that the word of the Muslims be in agreement, that they be united on something. Wajtima'ihim, and that they gather together and be unified. Wattilafihim, and that they join all together. That they tie themselves to one another. This, sticking to the rope of Allah, is from the amongst the greatest of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhathu, and also that we encourage. Walhathu ala hadha bi kulli tariqa musil ilayhi min al-a'mal wal-aqwal. That holding to the rope of Allah altogether, and the Muslims being united and joined together, he said, walhathu, and encouraging this by every way possible that leads to it, from actions and from speech. Encouraging the unity of the Muslims, the togetherness of the Muslims, by action and by speech. Not just by speech alone, but by actions, deeds, and speech. وَتَعَاوِنُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلًا وَفِعْلًا. And that we cooperate with one another to do this by speech and by action. By speech and by action. Not just talk about working together, but cooperating with one another by our speech and by our action. And then he said, after this, the i'tisam bihablillahi jami'an, holding fast the rope of Allah, and encouraging this by whatever means lead to it, and cooperating in that, he said, and also the nahi, the prohibition from at-tafarruq, separating and dividing ourselves, wal-ikhtilaf, and differing and disputing, وَتَشْتِيتْ شَمْلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and splitting up the affair of the Muslims, the prohibition of this, وَالزَّجْرُ عَنْ جَمِيعِ الطُّرُقْ الْمُوصِلَ إِلَيْهِ, and also sternly warning against all of the ways that lead to التَّفَرُّقُ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ, sternly warning against it. نعم بحسب القدرة والإمكان, according to a person's ability and what is possible. According to a person's ability and what is possible. Encouraging the joining together and cooperating in it, and warning against separating and differing, and a prohibition of separating and differing, and warning against everything that leads to it. to the best of one's ability in accordance with what is possible. And then the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى هَذَا الْعَصْلَ الْعَظِيمِ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And what has pointed to this tremendous, magnificent foundation, fundamental, yani holding fast the rope of Allah, uniting and not dividing and splitting and differing. He said, what points to this and indicates it, the dalil of it, is in the book of Allah and the sunnah and the ijma', the consensus of the prophets and messengers and their followers up until the day of judgment. Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. Naam. Then he says, and he mentions some evidences. He says, and he mentions a lot of evidences. The first one is the most important one. قال تعالى آمرا عباده بالتمسك بحبله الذي هو دينه والإجماع عليه ناهيا لهم عن التفرق والاختلاف ممتنا على عباده بتوفيقه لهم لذلك. And he says that Allah the Most High said in command, يعني آمرا, commanding his servants بالتمسك, to hold tight to his rope, which is his deen. The Hablullah, Shaykh says, is his deen. Hold tight to his deen. وَالْإِجْتِمَاءِ, and gathering together, عَلَيْهِ, upon what? Gathering together upon what? Upon, huh? Upon his rope, upon his deen. Upon his deen. He has commanded the people to hold tight to his habl, which is his deen, and to gather together upon it, upon the deen. And this is very important, because we're not gathering together and uniting and unifying just everybody's Muslim, we all, mashallah. Naam, the Muslim, we want to unite, and we work towards that. And even the people who are off the road, who are off the path, we also want to unite with them. But it can only be upon the deen of Allah. It means that they have to come to the deen of Allah. They have to come to the Quran and the Sunnah. It's not like you're on your own path and we're on a different path. How can we be united? Rather, we have to call the people with kindness, with gentleness, with wisdom, with compassion, to come to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, so that we can be united. Yes, we have to bring all the Muslims together in unity. According to what? Al-Qudra, according to one's ability. Wal-Imkan, what is possible. But it has to be upon something, upon the Habl of Allah. It's not just upon that we all say we're Muslims and that's sufficient. No, we have to be upon the real deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important. Yani we want to unite with the Muslims. And we have to be gentle and kind and easy with the Muslims. But we have to unite upon the haqq. And that haqq is as our yani Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained it. And as his companions understood it. And the Salaf of this Ummah as they understood it. Not according to my thinking and your thinking and our view. And how we feel. It's according to what was yani given to us, conveyed to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah as was understood by the Salaf of this Ummah. So he commanded the people to hold fast to his rope, which is his deen, and to gather together upon it. Nahiyan, prohibiting them from at-tafarruq, dividing and ikhtilaf and differing. Mumtannan ala ibadihi, yani reminding his servants of his favors upon them in granting them the tawfiq to be able to do this. Yani this coming together, uniting and joining with one another is a favor of Allah that He has enabled us to be able to do. He has enabled us to be able to do this. And He says in this ayah, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 102nd, 103rd ayah. It's the 103rd ayah, but the Shaykh mentions both of them. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. All you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves it. Huh? He goes back to what? Taqwa of Allah. Ta'atullah. Ibadatullah. That's what it's all about. That's what we started with and that's what we're going back to. This is the taqwa of Allah. This command to hold it fast to the robe of Allah is part of taqwa of Allah. It's part of obedience to Allah. It's part of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves it. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And don't die except while you are in a state of being Muslims. Yani in submission to Allah, meaning yani upon a tawheed. Upon a tawheed. The meaning here, yani the scholars of tafsir say, وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ يعني وَأَنْتُمْ مُوَحِّدُونَ. That you are the people of tawheed. Don't die except upon Tawheed. And then he comes with the command, وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, and hold fast to the rope of Allah all together, yani in unity, holding to the rope of Allah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and this is the prohibition, and don't separate and divide yourselves. وَذْكُرُوا, and here's the reminder of Allah's favor, remember, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, remember the favor, the blessing, the bounty of Allah upon you. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a command and a prohibition, and He's also reminding us of His favor upon us. A favor that, inshallah, we should be grateful for. We should recognize it as a favor of Allah, and it should be precious to us. It should be precious to us. Hold fast to the rope of Allah. وَاَتَّسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, all together. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُونَ, do be not divided. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, and remember the favor of Allah upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءَ, remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies. Not strangers, enemies. You are at war, you hated one another. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, and then Allah joined your hearts together. أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, Allah joined your hearts together. He didn't just move you all into the same neighborhood or ship you all down to, bus you all down to the same schools. Rather, He joined your hearts together. The hearts. Naam. That is indeed a ni'mah of Allah. A great ni'mah of Allah. And Allah is saying, wadhkur, remember, don't forget this. Why is He telling us to remember this? Because we have forgotten it. The way we treat one another sometimes is like we have forgotten that the brotherhood that Allah has placed between us because of Islam and Iman. We have forgotten this is the favor of Allah. And then we act like we don't care about that. And we abuse people. We abuse one another. We speak harshly to one another. I mean, some of the things that we do, really, is, and it's sad. And may Allah save us, you and me. Or me and you, I should say. Me first. From such behavior. Naam. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, and then you became, by the ni'mah of Allah, brothers. You were enemies, and then you became, by the ni'mah of Allah, brothers. Not friends, brothers. This is Surah to Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 102nd, 103rd ayah. And then he says, يعني, نعم. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and then he mentions some other ayahs. We'll just try to run through them quickly, even though every one of them, we should يعني, go back and read the tafsir for every ayah. At least one or two or three tafsirs, so we can see the beauty of what the Shaykh is mentioning here. He's a scholar of tafsir. Yani his main focus, even though yani he knew the hadith and the fiqh and all, but the main focus is tafsir, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is said that he used to explain the tafsir just yani spontaneously. Yani read an ayah and just explain it. And Shaykh Al Uthaymeen used to do the same thing. Tremendous. Before I ever read this, I remember the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah used to come to Medina every year, and he would sit in the chair of Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi. Yani when he would come, the Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi wouldn't teach. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen would sit in his chair, and that was the biggest circle in the Prophet's masjid. Yani thousands of people sat with Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi. Bigger than any scholar in the Prophet's masjid, that was most people were sitting there. The common people. Not the tulab al-ilm, the common people mostly. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen would come there, and whatever ayat, Shaykh Ali Abdurrahman Hudhayfi rahimahullah, yani whatever ayat Allah yahfadhu, whatever ayat the Shaykh recited in the Maghrib prayer, whatever he recited, that's what the Shaykh would explain in the dars. Yani from Maghrib to Isha, that's what he would talk about. Whatever the Imam read in the Salah, then that's what the Shaykh would explain. Just like his Shaykh used to do. Just like that. Subhanallah. So he said, yani after this he mentioned ayat, yani that Allah the Most High said, nahiyan an at-tanazu' wal-ikhtilaf, mukhbiran annahu sababun lil-fashl wal-'adam an-nasr 'ala al-a'da. Yani Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, and here's the comment on this ayat that he's going to mention here, is that Allah is prohibiting the people from tanazu', disputing and arguing with one another, and ikhtilaf, differing with one another. Mukhbiran, informing us in this ayat that this disputing and differing is the cause of fashal, failure. وَعَدَمَ النَّصْر, and the absence of victory over the enemy. You wonder why we can't be victorious? It's because of this, arguing, disputing and differing. The ayah is in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 46th ayah. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبْ رِيحُكُمْ. And don't argue and dispute with one another. So if you do so, then you will fail. You will fail because of your arguing and disputing. You will differ with one another. You will have enmity and hatred for one another. And you will lose heart. You will lose courage. You will lose the feeling, the confidence that you have that you can win. Because this ayat is revealed in reference to the battle, fighting. He said, don't dispute with one another because then you will fail and your strength, your power will dissipate. Because of what? Disputing. Naam. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُذَكِّرًا, reminding his servants of his ni'mah, which no one has the ability, has the power over, except Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, Allah himself, the mighty, the wise. He says, reminding of his ni'mah, that nobody, this is something nobody else can do. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah joined, tied the people, tied their hearts together. أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. He tied them together by their hearts. And if you had spent all that is in the earth, you would not have been able to tie their hearts together. But Allah, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah is the one who tied the hearts together. This is also in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 63rd ayat. And then he says, blaming the munafiqeen for their mutual hatred of one another and the separation of their hearts, the splitting of their hearts, تَفَرُّقْ قُلُوبِهِمْ. He's blaming the munafiq. He said, even though their bodies appear to be united together, اجتمعت أجسامهم. The hypocrites look like they are united, but they are not. He said, تحسبهم جميعا. You consider, you imagine, you think that they are all united together. وقلوبهم شتى. But their hearts are split apart. They are not together. They are not together. And he's blaming them. And the Shaykh is mentioning this. Why? Because if we do that, if that's our condition, that's a blameworthy condition. That we act like we're together, but in reality our hearts are divided. This is in Surah Hashr. I think it's the 59th Surah. Hashr is 59th Surah, 14th Ayah. وَقَالَ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ مُمْتَنًا عَلَى رَسُولِهِ بِلِينِهِ لِلْمُخَالِطِينَ أَدَّعِي لِتَعْلِيفِهِمْ وَإِجْتِمَاعِهِمْ وَعَدَمْ تَفَرُّقُهُمْ وَتَفَرُّقِهِمْ. He said here, and Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic, he says, reminding his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his lean, his gentleness, reminding him of this lean, the gentleness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with those that he mixed with. That lean, which is the da'i, the inviter, the caller, it is his gentleness that call the people to join themselves together, to be united, and to avoid separation and division. It was what that enabled him to call them? It was his gentleness, his lean. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 159th ayat, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ, it was by the rahmah from Allah that you were able to be gentle with them. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You would not have been able to be gentle with them. And some of us, we say, I can't be easy with these people, these rough, hard-headed, difficult people. But it's by the rahmah of Allah. That if a person's heart is there, Allah, inshallah, will give you the tawfiq. It's by the rahmah of Allah that you can be gentle and kind. That it was the rahmah of Allah. It was due to that that you were able to be gentle with them. And if you had been harsh and hard-hearted, they would have scattered from around you. And then he mentions a description of the believers. Listen to this description of the believers. The Shaykh, look how he's just kind of get through this quickly, right? Because he wants to mention some things. This is a summary of the topic. He said, وَوَصَفَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّهُمْ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the mu'mineena. And no, he could have said the muslimin, right? But he said the mu'mineen. And there's some reason for that, right? He described the mu'mineen, the people of iman. Allah described the people of iman, saying that they were ruhamau bainahum, that they were yani merciful and compassionate amongst themselves. And this came in the ayah in Surah Al-Fat, 48th Surah, 29th ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Muhammad Rasulullah, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ أَشِدَّعُ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and those who are with him, they are أَشِدَّعُ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ. In the place where it's required, they are stern with the disbelievers. But they are رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, merciful and compassionate amongst themselves. This is how Allah described the believers. Is this the description of us? Yani, can we fit into this? Or not? Yani, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Some of us are harder on the Muslims than on the kuffar. Some of us are harder on the people of Sunnah than on the Ahl Bidah. And then he said, the Shaykh said, okay, well, why is he saying this? Because he's saying this is how Allah described the believers. This is how you have to be described. These are the characteristics that you have to take on if you want to carry this task, this mission. And then he said, وَوَصَفَ رَسُولَهُ بِأَنَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah, He has described His Messenger with what kind of description? That He is Ra'ufun Rahim, that He is compassionate, yani kind, and Rahim, merciful. That He is kind and compassionate and merciful. And this came in the ayah what? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 128th ayah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Yani a messenger has come from amongst your own selves. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Yani that, whatever is hard upon you, the Prophet takes it, yani, he takes it to heart. Yani difficulty for the believers is hard to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Harisun alaykum. He is eager, yani, to bring about good for you, to bring about guidance, and to call you to Islam, or to bring you upon the path. Bil mu'mineen ar-ra'ufu rahim. And to the believers, he is compassionate, kind, and merciful. This description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at these descriptions. Yani these descriptions are descriptions of what lean, rahma, yani ri'fa, gentleness, kindness, compassion. This is how the Shaykh is mentioning these ayahs, showing that it's by the gentleness and the kindness and the compassion and the mercy that that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the responsibility has given to us, can be fulfilled. And then he brings the ayat, right? From Surah Al-Ahzab. I don't know, Ahzab is 33rd surah? Or 34th? 33rd surah, 31st ayat. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ. Indeed, definitely there is in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example, a model to be followed. أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Yani, what is the model? The model is, in fulfilling this obligation, the Prophet ﷺ is the best example. He was kind, he was compassionate, he was gentle, he was easy, he was pardoning, he was forgiving. He was generous to the people. This, he's the example, if we want to fulfill this obligation. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And then he mentions the ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 2nd ayat, command and a prohibition. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And we are commanded to cooperate with one another. Mutual cooperation in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not cooperate in sin and transgression. And this goes back to our topic, holding fast the rope of Allah and not being divided. Cooperate with one another in piety and righteousness. And do not cooperate in sin and transgression. Somebody's transgressing against the people, don't cooperate in that. I don't care if that's your best friend, that's your man, he's whatever, he's a flag bearer, he's a sheikh, who's whoever. We don't cooperate in sin and transgression. People's rights are being transgressed against. People are being slandered and backbitten and other harm coming to the people. How do you cooperate with that? Wallahi, that's not part of Allah's deen. Allah told us, do not cooperate in sin and transgression. And it's not by accident. That's why in the introduction to the book he said that he has placed the dots, yani, where they belong. Every yani letter is clear, every word is clear. He's making the matter crystal clear. Naam, And please give me just a couple of minutes, inshallah. We're going to stop here, inshallah. وَتَعَوْنَ الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَ لَا تَعَوْنَ الْإِثْنِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not cooperate in sin and transgression. Cooperate in that which is piety and righteousness and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, cooperate in that. Even with the brother you don't like, even with the sister that's not from your group, your tribe, your neighborhood, your country. Doesn't matter. Cooperate in piety and righteousness. People are doing something that's piety and righteousness, pleasing to Allah. Cooperate in that. And to the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. Do not cooperate with your best friend, not with your mother or your father, in sin and transgression. And then this is what we're going to stop with here. And then the Shaykh says after this ayah, وَمِنْ أَعَظَمْ الْبِرْ. And from among the greatest of birr, of piety or righteousness, is the sa'yu fi jama'i كلمه المسلمين واتفاقهم بكل طريق كما ان السعي في تفريق كلمه المسلمين يرحمك الله من اعظم التعاون على الاثم والعدوان. Now here the Shaykh says what? From اعظم, the greatest, the most magnificent of piety and righteousness is striving in joining the word of the Muslims, yani uniting the Muslims and making them to be in agreement, بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ, by every way, every road, every means, yani striving, سَعِي, striving, struggling, huh, to unite the Muslims, to unite their word, and to bring them into agreement by all means, just as striving to separate the word of the Muslims, to dissolve, to break up their unity, is from the greatest, or the most evil, of types of cooperating in sin and transgression. Yani dividing the Muslims, striving for the division of the Muslims, the separation and disputing of the Muslims, this is from the greatest types of cooperation in sin and transgression. It's time for the comment. 3 minutes, alhamdulillah. طيب, the Shaykh, new point, yani furthering this point, said, وَقَدْ قَصَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا فِي كِتَابِهِ سِيرَةُ الرُّسُولِ الَّذِينَ بَعَثَهُمْ لِتَبْلِيغِ رِسَالَتِهِ وَذَكَرَ نُصْحَهُمْ لِأُمَمِهِمْ وَحِرْصِهِمْ عَلَى اجْتِمَاعِهِمْ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَنَهْيَهُمْ عَنَ التَّفَرُّقِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ مِمَّا هُوَ كَثِيرٌ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Yani Allah Himself has narrated to us the stories in His book of the lives of the messengers whom He have missioned to deliver His messages. And He has mentioned their sincere advice to their nations and their diligence and eagerness to bring them together upon Islam and prohibiting them from separation and differing, tafarruq and ikhtilaf. Yani the messengers, not our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone, the messengers, all of them. And this is mentioned many places in the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Likewise, our Prophet, قَدْ أَبْدَى فِي هَذَا الْعَصْلِ وَأَعَادَ وَأَمَرَ بِإِجْتِمَاعِ الْعِبَادِ وَنَهَى عَنَ التَّفَرُّقِ الْمُفْضِي إِلَى الْفَسَادِ. And likewise, our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has shown, yani he has displayed, and he has repeatedly commanded the people, yani, to join, yani, the servants together, ijtima' al-ibad, that they join together. And he has prohibited from at-tafarruq, yani division that leads to corruption. Division, dividing the Muslims, this leads to corruption. فَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُتَّفَقَ عَلَيْهِ, in a hadith that is agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim, لَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَنَاجَسُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. Yani, do not be, yani, what? Envious of one another. And do not inflate prices against one another. And do not have mutual hatred of one another. And do not turn your backs to one another. Tadabaru, turn your backs to one another, like just distancing yourself from one another. وَكُونُوا إِبَادَ ikhwana. And be brothers, O servants of Allah. That's a command from the Prophet ﷺ. Don't do these things that cause separation and division and destroy the brotherhood. That's the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, O servants of Allah, if you are really servants of Allah, be brothers to one another. And we have to think about the way we treat other people, the Muslims. Are we treating them like we are brothers, sisters to one another, or something else? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, la yadhlimuhu wa la yakhdhiluhu wa la yakhdhibuhu. Yani the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He doesn't do injustice to him, wrong to him. He doesn't abandon him, surrender him to the enemies. He doesn't yakhdhibuhu, lie to him or something like this. I didn't read the shot of this hadith. But that's what it appears to me on the surface, but it may have a different meaning. Yeah, this hadith in Bukhari Muslim, and in the Sahih of Muslim, and this is the last hadith we'll read, Sahih Muslim from Tamim al-Dari, the great hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, سَمِعْتُ the narrator of the hadith, Tamim al-Dari, he said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ الدِّينُ النَّصِيحَةِ. This is a hadith that we should have memorized already, right? But if we didn't memorize it, please memorize it now. سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ الدِّينُ النَّصِيحَة. I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that the deen, the core, the essence of the deen is nasiha. This is the core of the deen. And there are many aspects of the deen, this is the core of it. And nasiha, being sincere, advising one another, being true and sincere. قُلْنَا لِمَنْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We said, to who, O Messenger of Allah, this nasiha is for who? He said, لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلَأِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَتِهِمْ. النَّصِيحَة, sincerity to Allah, and to the Book of Allah, and to the Messenger of Allah, and to the leaders, the Imams of the Muslims, and to the common people from amongst the Muslims. And all of these, as the scholars of the Sunnah have explained, each one of these has a meaning. Sincerity to Allah, and sincerity to the Book of Allah, and being obedient to Allah, and observing taqwa of Allah, and observing that which Allah has revealed in His Book, and following His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and protecting His Sunnah, and being sincere to the leaders of the Muslims, being obedient to them, and not rebelling against them, making khuruj against them, unless they have ordered you to disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, and being sincere to the common Muslims, sincerity to the common Muslims. The Shaykh says, وَمِنْ أَعْظَمَ النَّصِيحَةِ, and from the greatest of the nasiha that's mentioned in this hadith, that this deen, it is nasiha, from the greatest of this sincerity, it is sincerity to the Muslims, because this nasiha is what? To Allah and to the Book of Allah and the Messenger of Allah and the leaders of the Muslims, and to the common Muslims. And from the greatest nasiha to the common Muslims is that a person strives fi ta'alif kulubihim, in joining the hearts of the Muslims together, striving, struggling, making an effort to join the hearts of the Muslims together, wa ijtima'ihim, and bringing them together in a group, ijtima', wa nahihim an at-tafarruq, and prohibiting them from separation. This is from the greatest nasiha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that this is the core of the deen, and deen and nasiha, from the greatest nasiha to the common Muslims, is to encourage them and to call them to being together and being united and working together and being in cooperation and being in agreement with one another, and prohibiting them from division and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that's also reported by Bukhari and Muslim, when he was speaking to the Ansar and he was bringing to their attention, munabbihan lahum biminnatillahi alayhim, bringing to their attention, reminding them of the minna, the favor, the blessing, the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, bihidayatihim, in guiding them, wa ijtima'ihim, and bringing them together as a group that was united, wa ghinahum, and enriching them, removing them from poverty and enriching them, bi sababihi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them and joined them together and enriched them, bi sababi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by means of the Prophet, by means of the Prophet himself. And in this hadith he said, ya ma'ashir al-ansar, O assembly of Ansar, didn't I find you dullala, astray, lost, fahadakum Allah bi, and Allah guided you through me. This is the favor of Allah that came through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's reminding them of this. Didn't I find you lost and astray, and Allah guided you through me? متفرقين فجمعكم جمعكم الله بي. And I found you متفرقين, separated. Everybody in their own, just separation, divided, split up. And then Allah brought you together through me. عالة فأغناكم الله بي. And I found you in poverty, impoverished, needy and poor. فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهُ, and then Allah الغني. Allah is الغني, He's rich, but He's also what? المغني. فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is المغني, He's rich, and He's the one who enriches others. So He enriched you, He took you out of poverty and he enriched you through me. And every time the Prophet ﷺ said to them a word from these things, that I found you misguided, found you divided, found you in poverty, every time he said one of those things, they said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu amunnu. That Allah and His Messenger has favored us. And He's given us from His favor and His bounty. And we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.